if you can't just even talk about the Insurgent movie, then stick around, because this is Faction Fandom.
So welcome, welcome back, everybody, to episode 21. My name is Stephanie.
My name is Alyssa.
And as Alyssa pointed out, we are going to talk about the Insurgent movie today.
We are. And this is mostly my fault as to why it's so late, because I was putzing, like, in finishing the book, and I finally finished it this past weekend.
That is A-okay. You take all the time you need.
Oh, man.
Life happens. I wasn't able to record anytime soon because I was sick, like I told you, and like I've been ranting about online.
Yes.
If you hear me cough, that's me.
Oh, poor Stephanie.
That's okay. So, Alyssa, besides all the Insurgent craze, what have you been up to in the past month? Have you been reading or binge-watching or anything fantastic?
You know, I was in a bit of a slump for a while. I'm kind of still crawling my way back out, but I was in a pretty decent book slump for most of April, end of March. And I say book slump, and people are like, oh my god, did you read anything? I'm like, well, I did read stuff, which is not a lot.
Alyssa's book slump is probably like my average pace. And see, I actually read a lot. I feel like I've read a lot of stuff.
Well, so I caught up quite significantly over the weekend, because I avoided humanity this past weekend. I was basically in my pajamas for a full 48 hours.
That's okay.
It was glorious.
I
needed it so bad.
I legitimately skipped work one day because I was like, yeah, I'm going to work, bye. And I just stayed all day in the Starbucks.
Why not? That sounds really nice.
But, I mean, sometimes you need, like, time off or days off.
You do.
Especially when, like, in adult world, when you don't get, like, summer vacations, or sometimes you get holidays off. Like, you know, it's, like, 3 holidays a year off.
Yeah, and those are days. Yeah. You don't get, like, a week off.
You're lucky if you get paid for those days.
Yes.
But, yeah, make some time for yourself. If you don't do it for you, then who is, you know?
No one. So. No one is going to do it for you, and I was, like, exactly what I needed. I finished Insurgent before I went to my massage, and then came back home, and I finished The Raven Boys.
Oh, I hear those are good.
And then I started reading Dream Thieves, and I was talking to Maureen, and I said, so I'm thinking about starting Blue Lily, Lily Blue. And she goes, oh, you should wait. It's a thing.
You should wait for that.
You should wait and do that tomorrow.
I've been reading a whole bunch. Let me tell you what I've been reading.
Tell me what you've been reading.
Because I'm so proud of myself.
Okay.
I think last time we recorded, I had read Steelheart by Brandon Sanderson.
Right.
So I read the second installation in that series called Firefight. That whole book was just, I was not prepared for that. And I'm wondering if this is going to be a trilogy, because there's a lot happening in that second book. And I could see the third book wrapping that all up.
Ah.
If it doesn't, this whole series is going to throw me. I've been reading Parasol Protectorate as well. I've read the first three books, Soulless, Changeless, and Blameless.
Nice.
And I'm on the fourth installment, which is called
Heartless.
And I started it, but I haven't gotten that far into it because I'm at, like, a good stopping point.
Yeah.
Storyline. So I wanted to read some other things because I went through the first, the second and the third book back to back. I was like, I can't stop this. I need to figure out what's going on. You don't freaking throw that kind of crap in a book and be like, okay, next book. Like, these books, it's just... Just for people who read spin-off books out of order, fair warning.
You can't do that.
Because things happen and people come and then you try to read the original stories. Like, you're like, so many questions and it's just complicated. I literally texted Alyssa and was like, oh my god, why is this happening? Oh my god, why is that happening? Oh my god, oh my god. And you were like, Stephanie, quit trying to read further. Just read the effing books.
And I was like, I did.
I won't ask you any more questions. I'm sorry.
That's such a lie.
I will. Hey, but I haven't asked you any more so far. So.
You haven't, but you haven't also read Heartless yet. So.
See, I'm at a good stopping point. I'm not going to dive into that just yet. So I stopped reading Heartless.
Oh, man.
I went back into reading some things that I had stopped in the middle of.
Nice.
So I picked back up Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix because I'm at a good point in the series where I'm not just reading things, waiting for stuff to happen.
Good.
I feel like the books are legitimately better than the movie at this point.
Yes.
Because there's so much stuff, other stuff happening, that I'm reading to find out what happens next with the whole other stuff that I don't know about.
Good.
And then I finished City of Lost Souls.
Okay.
But then, what is it, Sarah and I have decided to start reading books together to talk about. And we picked up Maximum Ride. And I picked up Hourglass by Myra McIntyre.
Okay.
She did a short story and my true love gave to me. Yeah, so I've been wanting to read She did Beer Buckets and Baby Jesus.
I loved that one.
Yeah, so I've been meaning to pick this book up for a long time because obviously since Christmas I've been wanting to read some of her stuff. So I'm reading that now.
Nice.
Which, yeah, I'm reading that. I'm rereading the Iron Fae series by Julie Kagawa.
Yeah.
Because I have the Iron Trader book
now. Oh.
I started reading those books like 2 years ago, so I just want to brush back up on them.
Yeah.
I'm reading a bunch of manga.
Oh.
When I say a bunch of manga, I mean one specific series.
Which is?
Called Denkai Daisy by Kyosuke Motomi. I said that wrong. But this is great. It's a lot of fluff, and it's a lot of fun.
Manga's really easy to read, and it's a lot of fluff. I have a huge collection of manga at my house, and maybe one day when I have more room and more bookshelves, I'll have a whole bookshelf dedicated to manga again.
I've got to stop reading, though. I went on, a book buying.
I'm sorry, did you just say, I have to stop reading?
I have to stop buying books because I buy them faster than I can read them.
Yeah, I do too. I do that all the time. It's really bad. I have a new friend, Susan, on Tumblr who sends me anonymous asks.
Oh, fun.
And I gave her a tag on my blog, Susan Asks Stuff.
That's cute.
I love her. Susan asks me great stuff. And she actually just asked me, and I haven't put it into words. I have not yet come up with a good phrasing for the answer to this question, which is very similar to what we were just talking about.
So what's her question? Lay it on us.
How's your buy-to-read ratio? Is your TBR pile growing much faster than the pile of books you've already read? Do you stop/try to stop buying when you realize you have too many unread books? And the very short answer to that is yes.
I try.
So there's a whole combination of things that need to go into this.
I think I consistently buy more books than I read, but when I do buy a bunch of books and have book haul days, I try to read a whole lot more. So while I've bought a whole bunch of books, I'm also reading a whole bunch more because I'm more motivated now that I have this big pile of books that I want to get through.
Yeah.
But now that we, I think we've established our reading habits a lot.
I think we've over-established our reading habits.
Let's get through this news really quickly. Most of our news is movie-based.
It is.
So it's our chance to kind of talk about movies just by themselves.
Yep. So the MTV Movie Awards are coming out.
They already came out.
Or they came out, rather. I apologize. Diffios won Movie of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Yay, which makes a lot of sense.
Yay for John Green.
Shy and Ansel won Best Kiss, obviously not for Divergent, because that would be TMI.
It's a blooper scene.
I'll
take that decision of the movie DVD.
Shailene won best female performance for Tufios.
She gave a really pretty, what's the word, speech, and thanked John Green, and then John Green cried.
Yes.
But he deserves all the praise, so he did a good job.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Shailene won the Trailblazer Award, which was which was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that one's kind of interesting. I don't think anybody realizes what the Trailblazer Award is for, but I think it's for upcoming people, right?
I think so, but that's, I think, also because MTV is increasingly becoming irrelevant. I was reading a BuzzFeed today. Apparently, the teens of the world consider MTV to be irrelevant.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It's probably because they don't show music television anymore.
I really wish they did.
I remember coming home and turning on MTV just so I could watch music videos. I mean,
I love music videos.
While I was, like, doing my homework and stuff. I mean,
exactly.
That was what it was.
That was the point. But whatever.
And,
what else?
See what else is in there. Did you see the new Paper Towns trailer?
I did. It's going to be, I think it's going to be really good.
Yeah.
They've managed to make it not Manic Pixie Girl, which is great. Thrilling, because I think most people who read Paper Towns kind of picture her as the Manic Pixie Girl, which she is a Manic Pixie Girl, but it's really almost nothing to do with her.
I know.
Which I'm thrilled. I'm so excited for the freaking road trip. It's not even funny. And the Black Santas.
I love the Black Santas.
I'm so excited for the Black Santas.
I'm in the middle of Paper Towns also. I started reading it a long time ago. But I'm in the middle of it. I need to finish it before the movie comes out so I can be completely non-spoiled when that happens. But I love their casting for that, and I think they're doing a really good job with it.
I do too. I kind of wish, half of me kind of wishes that, what's his name? Oh my God, what is his name?
Nat Wolff.
Yeah. I love him. I thought he was great in Fault in Our Stars. I just kind of wish they hadn't recast him.
Yeah.
The John Green movie.
Because now he's that.
Now he's the John Green movie kid.
He's going to be John Green's Johnny Depp.
I hope not. I really hope not, but this is a whole other can of worms that we just don't want to go into.
I think once John Green starts making more movies, and unfortunately...
You know what I think John Green needs to do? I think John Green needs to make more books before he makes more movies.
Yeah, but...
I think he's got one coming out, he just hasn't...
He hasn't been too public with it yet.
Yeah, and I need it. I need a new John Green book before a new John Green movie.
True. So, you know who needs to come out with an actual book?
Stephanie Perkins?
Stephanie Perkins, yes.
How did I know?
Lord knows I love the woman, and I love that she's still writing stuff at least, but I want a whole book, please, of Stephanie Perkins. So aside from that, what's next on our list here?
What is next on our list?
The Mortal Instruments TV show. What do we think about that, Alyssa?
So,
your face is just priceless. It's a shame we're not a video podcast because people can't see this, but it's great.
So, I'm thrilled that the TMI fandom is happy about a casting.
Thrilled. I consider myself part of the TMI fandom, even though I'm not too happy with the later books. But... I'm thrilled we're getting something to finish. So many movies go crappy and don't get to go anywhere. And we are an established fandom. We will stand by the project if it's done well. And I think that a series is a much better idea than trying to do a whole movie. Because there are so many like ups and downs and secrets and whatnot that I think that a series will be a better pace.
Yeah.
A television series is a whole different industry. So as far as, like, other things coming out, I'm wondering, especially because it's ABC Family and not, like, CW or something like that. I'm wondering if they're going to be able to compete with some of the other action-packed fantasy supernatural shows that are out. I don't know. Those are my opinions.
I'm inclined to agree. It'll be interesting. We will. I'm intrigued to see what they're going to do with the end of...
From what I understand, though, they're not going to pick back up again where the movie left off. They're going to start the first book all over again.
Which is why I'm curious as to what's going to happen with Jason Clary.
Well, you know...
Are they gonna go there?
I think this is prime time television we're talking about. I think they're gonna go there. They're gonna reveal some hidden agenda.
I honestly didn't finish the movie.
You didn't?
No.
Okay.
I read the books. I read at least three of the books.
Nobody knows that once the Mortal Instruments ended as a movie that there would be another movie.
There's not gonna be.
Most general moviegoer people think that when they go to a movie, that's all they're investing in is in one movie. Whereas if you're going to start a television show and you're going to end the series with a big cliffhanger...
This is assuming it does well.
Yes. If it does well and the first season ends with a big cliffhanger, then I think that people will be invested enough in the series to know that this is not how it's going to end.
I could get that.
On to some other shows that we like, though.
Yes.
That we know do well.
Yes.
For instance...
Daredevil.
Daredevil. A Netflix original made by Marvel.
Netflix.
So, this is pretty cool.
Oh my god, it's so good.
I haven't finished Daredevil. I'm off the fourth or fifth episode.
Oh, I'm at number 10.
But it's pretty good.
Oh my god. Have you gotten to Vanessa yet?
I just met Vanessa. I just got to the part where Vanessa was introduced to the guy. By the way, it took me a whole episode and a half to realize it's the same guy from Law & Order, not SVU, but the other one.
CI?
Yeah. Pretty cool.
No, as you get further in, I'm really, really interested to hear what you have to say about Vanessa.
Really?
She fascinates me.
Does she?
Yeah.
Does she have a bigger role?
No. She just fascinates me.
Mm.
So, yeah. Anyway.
All right, well, I'll keep watching.
I have to finish it. You have to finish it before you go see Marvel Age of Ultron, I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I have a whole week, so.
No, I'm concerned that if we don't finish it before Age of Ultron comes out, there's going to be, like, a thing that we were supposed to have gotten from Daredevil.
Well, they do that, though, don't they?
They do that, which is why I need to finish it before Ultron comes out, and why tonight's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and next week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are going to, like, kill me. Because it's all going to become connected again, and I don't know how to even... Hi, sorry! Hold on, I need to read a thing.
What happened?
Tumblr. Pretty sure that's Wolverine making out with a dude. In, like, an actual comic book. And Deadpool saying ridiculous things.
Oh, man. I love Deadpool.
Can I just tell you how excited I am for Deadpool movie?
I was going to say, how pumped are you for the Deadpool movie?
I saw the spread of Ryan Reynolds just laying there in front of the fire in the Deadpool costume.
I like how you call it a spread.
I almost died. I saw that and I had to send it to, like, everybody I know.
Oh, man. It's like a spread. He's just laid out.
He is. It's a Playboy spread.
It's the best.
It's a Playboy spread.
I'm so ready for this.
I'm so ready for Deadpool.
So we're ready for Avengers. We're ready for Deadpool.
Yep. But
what else is happening this year that we're ready for?
Jurassic World. Our Velociraptor Whisper is back.
I'm really excited for Jurassic World.
Oh, it'll be great.
So, let's get to the meat of what we're doing today. The Insurgent movie review. Alyssa, I would like you to take a brief moment to tell the listeners what you thought of the book first.
So,
two sentences. Like two or three sentences.
It took me a year and a half. That's sentence one. Two, I like Divergent better.
Okay.
Three, I liked the book better than the movie.
Okay. For people who have seen the Insurgent movie but have not read the book, they're warned you will be spoiled. And we actually very much encourage you to go read the book if you have already seen the movie, because there's a lot of stuff you need to figure out.
There's a lot of stuff that was just, it wasn't wrong. Like, nothing about the movie actually was wrong. It all worked essentially the same way. Amanda sent us an email that says, I recently saw the Insurgent film and I was just dying to know what you guys thought. I read the book a while back, but when I saw the movie, it wasn't really what I thought it would be like. Don't get me wrong, I liked it, but in order to like it, I have to look at the Insurgent film and the Insurgent book as two different creations. I have my opinions, but I would really love to know yours. Can you include a segment on the show? We can make this the whole show.
But I think she stated it very, very good.
She did.
Separately, the movie is a movie.
Yeah.
It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
It was well done.
There was a lot of visual effects going on. There was a lot of action going on. There was a lot of drama and suspense going on.
Truth.
I was not happy with Theo James. I don't know why.
He was bland.
I thought Shailene stole the show. And I thought they played up Caleb a whole lot more. Which is weird, considering they didn't light him up quite like he should have been played up.
The whole thing, having literally finished the book a day before I saw the movie, I just kind of sat there and was taken aback by how much they
changed.
And how, yeah. And like in the way that they changed it and what they did. There were too many similarities
to be able to call it bad.
Yeah.
But not enough things to be able to call it accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
I just kind of sat there and was like, what I wanted more than anything else was Uriah.
Thank you.
That's like all I wanted. I wanted Uriah, and Uriah had what, like three lines?
Yes. Okay. So before we get into all that, do you have any pros about the movie?
It was very, I feel like, well done.
It was really well done?
It was really, I mean, like, visually, it was very well done. You know, it carried through from start to finish. It didn't feel like a two-hour movie.
I liked Johanna.
I liked Johanna.
The moment we got her.
Yep.
And I will say that I absolutely adored Miles Teller. One of the biggest pros I had was Shailene Woodley and Miles Teller. Peter was fantastic.
Peter was great. Peter was great in his assholery.
He did a great job with it. And even when he wasn't acting like an asshole, he did a fantastic job there too.
Yeah.
And I think that what I wanted from Uriah, I got from Peter.
Yes. Yeah.
All that comic relief and friendly, funny banter that happens, I get that from Peter.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that they gave him more comic relief than just rudeness.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they could have done that still and kind of played up Uriah.
And they probably could have. What did you think of Naomi Watts?
I forgot it was Naomi Watts.
Boar's mom.
Honestly, she looked really young to me.
Really? Because with Four standing next to her, he looks really old. That, like, you forget you're supposed to be mother and son.
That might actually be what the problem was. She looked really young. I completely forgot it was Naomi Watts.
I think it's the hair.
It might be the hair. I don't know. There were so many things that were wrong.
Yeah.
I can't even get over how many things were wrong with this movie.
I'll start us off. I think one of the biggest things I had a problem with the movie, aside from the fact that they cut so many things, is the fact that the characters that they did have in the movie didn't have important parts.
Yeah.
So they didn't add a whole bunch of characters.
Nope.
I mean, according to IMDb, they did. They casted them, but you would never know that because you get 5 minutes of Uriah. You get 5 minutes of Marcus. You don't even know who Lynn is unless you've read the book and you can pick her out.
Yeah.
You don't get a lot of Christina either. Christina and Marcus play huge roles in this book.
Nowhere to be found.
He doesn't even focus on that. And one of the biggest things I loved about the book and I hated about the book was Kayla's role.
Yeah.
That threw me for a loop because Caleb is such a kind person up until a certain point, and yep. You would have never known that because they play him a little bit more rebel-ish and a little bit more defensive and a little bit more...
calculating?
Yeah, a little more calculating than he should be at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
So you're not surprised, and it's not that big of a deal.
Was the guy who Eric was with supposed to be Zeke?
I don't know.
Was Tori, where did...
Like, where was she? I don't think this happens. I don't think you ever see her in the movie, but I'm pretty sure she's...
for like a minute and a half.
But I'm pretty sure she's the one who kills Janine, isn't she?
Yeah. But no, not in the movie. And then there was so much that they could have not done. Like, I get so... I'm just going to jump to the end with the box. We're just going to sit on the box for a minute.
Okay.
Those sequences were so much longer than they needed to be. The divergent sequence that she went through was unnecessarily long.
It was pretty long.
I mean, to the point where I was like, okay, I'm over this.
But didn't you love how... even though they fabricated this whole box thing, they still managed to keep her simulations the same.
Yes. So they did. The simulations were the same. They just manufactured how the simulations were being given.
Yes.
And I don't understand why they needed to change that. Like, what the fuck is the scanner?
I don't know.
That was the most bizarre. She's 100% divergent. That's only divergent in three ways.
That's a very excellent point. Thank you. Thank you for that. 100%. She's only got three divergents. But do they ever say that in the...
In the book, only like three people know that she's divergent in three factions. And that's how Janine finds out about them. And that's how we find out about Caleb being kind of a douchebag. Mm-hmm. I mean, they could have cut down in Amnesty. There's so many places that were just like the fight scene on the train. I didn't need that.
I want to know why this guy on the train, why they couldn't have made him Edward.
I don't know why they couldn't have made him Edward either.
I was so pumped to see Edward and to see he was cast. To see that he played an important role in the whole factionless team. But
yeah,
you got none of that. I think you saw him once.
I mean, I don't even remember seeing him.
But the blonde guy with the tattoos on the train makes more of a statement than Edward does.
There were so many unnecessary aspects.
What did you think about the Kander faction?
I was underwhelmed.
Were you not very impressed with that?
In the book I was.
Aesthetically, at least?
Aesthetically, I mean, it was clean. It was, everything about it was very...
boring.
Cornered and straight and white and black and...
I wanted more Marvel. In. I have a problem with the Kander compound because I imagined it a lot more political and professional looking. Like, I wanted marble and pillars, and...
I was not expecting that, because at the same... the way that they've made the movie aesthetic is, like, this run-down city.
Yeah.
And the only place that is new and shiny...
Was Erudite.
And it was only in the tower. Honestly, I was more surprised that they didn't vilify Eric more by having him kill the little girl.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, that would have been horrible. Killing children.
It would have been horrible, but it would have been a justification for his execution.
It wasn't.
I don't know, it was weird. The whole Candor part was weird. I found her standing up there and being, like, weepy really irritating because that's not what she was doing.
No, definitely not. She was strong.
Oh, I hated every minute of that.
What was the thing they stepped in? They stepped into this, was it like an X-Men machine? I was expecting her.
It was like
spinning and giving her some rogue powers or something.
So what I kind of got out of that was that she, like, it was, you were reflecting yourself with the mirrors, but it was also reflecting you to, like, every other member of Candor. Like, so it was a small room, but the mirrors projected you around so that everyone was still watching you.
It was weird.
And it was kind of like, you know, you have to watch yourself tell the truth.
I guess so. So I was pretty okay with the movie until they left Amity.
Until the box.
I was pretty okay with the movie until about 10 minutes in. But I assumed they would cut a bunch of the Amity stuff because it really wasn't relevant to the whole storyline. Like the chip. But no, I don't think they even played up the chip that much, did they?
Not really.
It was the whole box thing.
It was mostly about the box.
They took the chip out. They took Marcus's whole thing. Marcus was supposed to go get the quote-unquote box, which is the quote-unquote video.
Yeah.
And all of that was cut. All of the Triss's allies from Dauntless and, like, Kara and all of the erudite rebels who, like, all the cool gadgets and the big fight scene at the end, all of that was cut.
The feels with Christina were cut.
Yeah, I mean, like, she's mad at Triss. Okay, you were expecting
for
that.
For a split second.
But then...
And then nothing else happens.
Okay with it, like, later.
Yeah. Well, then she saves... But then she saves Christina from falling off the ledge, which is not what happens.
And it's an interesting way for them to fix her and Christina's relationship.
Yeah, that was one way. But wasn't she supposed to save the boy? Did Tori save the boy in the movie?
It was between Marlene. That's who it was.
Yeah, it was supposed to be that she chose
Tori
between Marlene.
There.
No, she wasn't there. But so what was supposed to happen in the book was that she had to choose between Marlene and the kid. And in the movie, there were three of them.
Three people on the ledge.
Marlene, the kid, and Christina. And I feel like Tori saved the kid.
I think Tori saved the kid, too. And Triss saved Christina.
But Marlene still died.
Which I have a huge problem with because wasn't Forrest standing right underneath her? Like,
yes!
He caught her?
Yes, he could have.
Like, I realize it was high up, but come on, you're freaking Dauntless. Like, you know, use yourself as a cushion and do something about that. But no, he just stands there and watches it happen.
I just, so many things that were wrong with that.
I think the ending is what really bugs me. I think the fact that they changed the ending so much and they added this stupid box.
And it wasn't even the right storyline.
They cut characters for the sake of time because they don't want to deal with, like, character development, which, okay, I understand. You've established, what, four characters, basically. Triss,
Peter.
Tobias, Peter and Caleb. And we have our bad guys, Janine,
Eric.
And what's Tobias' mom's name?
Oh, God, I don't know. I hated her.
Yeah, she was a lot more... I thought she was supposed to be more evil than she was, but she wasn't.
She wasn't. Until the end.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Here's what I'm thinking, though. And this is just me. They casted Naomi Watts because we're not going to get any more Kate Winslet. So they needed a really big person to be our bad guy, Anna Legit. And I think that because this was Kate Winslet's last movie in the fandom, and because she's the moneymaker, they put as much Kate Winslet they possibly could. So we got a lot of Janine. We got a lot of Janine and a lot of Shailene, which are, in fact, our big moneymakers in the movie.
They are.
So I feel like that's why they changed a lot of that, or maybe that's a good motivator to change a lot of that.
Yeah.
It cuts time on all the other characters. It gives you more time for the people that you've established. And from what I understand, they're going to use the changes they made in Insurgent to benefit them in the first Allegiant film. Which makes me wonder what they're going to change about Allegiant.
Which I haven't read yet.
And I don't remember all that well, so it's very hard to say.
Well, Maureen is sending me her copy of Allegiant, which I'm very grateful for.
Oh, cool.
That was nice.
Like, are they going to reveal anything about Triss's family being divergent from way back when?
Yeah.
Are they gonna, I don't know, play up Marcus at all? Are they going to bring Caleb in that much? Are they going, I mean, what are they going to do with Four? Is he going to be able to pull off the things he does in Allegiant? I don't know.
I know less than you.
Can you imagine not knowing what's going to happen and worrying that they're going to change it even though you don't know what it is?
Yes.
I don't know how else to explain that. Ugh. And wanting to see her battle herself, I didn't. And even though she did that, I don't think it was what I was wanting from that.
No, you know, actually, I actually appreciated that part of it more than I did in the book. Because it tied it back in with what she'd gotten out of Amnesty in the movie. And that was Joanna telling her, well, you need to, like, find some self-love. We're all about love and peace, but self-love's a huge part of that.
And forgiveness.
And forgiveness. And you, yeah. need to self, you need to self-love and
forgive yourself.
And I think that was the really, like, a huge selling point for me at the end, where I was kind of like, okay, I'm okay with this now.
It was like the Shailene show. The Shailene show with Peter and Kate Winslet.
Yeah. I wasn't overly impressed with this movie.
Me either. As an adaptation, I've got a lot of Percy Jackson.
I have a lot. That was what I want. I walked out of this movie feeling like they took the basics of the story.
But like you said, they still kept a lot of stuff in. So Caleb still,
which is what they did for Percy Jackson, though. They kept the basics in, and they kept the essentials of the story.
They just changed a lot of other really big things.
I just fucked with everything.
It was really weird.
I didn't like it.
I didn't like it either. I get that there was a lot that's happened and you had to cut a bunch of stuff, but don't cut stuff and then add random other shit, because
I really, like, didn't need the train fight. It was completely irrelevant to the plot.
We didn't get a whole lot of factionless time either.
No.
Like, aren't the factionless supposed to go to war with the erudite?
Yeah.
And then there's supposed to be a whole other, you know, other team of, what, Christina and Triss and Marcus infiltrating that, but we got none of the faction list. Naomi Watts is what we got. God, what is her name?
Hold on.
And then the last biggest problem I have with this book, I mean this movie, they play the fucking film at the end for everyone.
God, I hate that.
And they don't even mention that it was by Triss's ancestor.
Yeah.
Like, that was probably one of the biggest shockers of the entire book.
Yeah.
Was this whole concept, which we all kind of knew.
Evelyn.
Evelyn, thank you. It's her name.
Can I go back to Evelyn for a second? What the fuck was this whole she contacted him a year ago thing?
Because while Tobias was still in Dauntless is when Evelyn revealed herself to him.
Did that happen in the book? Because I do not remember that happening in the book.
Yeah, okay, so a lot of things that they kept weirdly for some random reason. That really does happen. And Tobias says that he signs up to be in the control room so that he can always see when he's able to leave.
Right.
Because his plan was to always leave.
Right.
Eventually. And then Triss came along.
Right.
So that was his plan. I don't think he was going to leave for her. I thought he was going to leave for himself. But that was his plan. And then she doesn't, you know.
Yeah.
He wises up. I just, God, you know, let's just talk about Theo James for a minute.
He was so boring in this movie.
He wasn't very doting on Triss.
Well, he didn't really have a lot of screen time to be doting.
But he wasn't very emotional with her either, like, strict. I mean, he was strict. He was very, like you said, boring.
He was boring.
I don't know. I don't know what to expect from him.
I don't know.
What gets me is they spent so freaking long trying to cast a Tobias, a four, and they get Theo James, so we all get, like, heartbroken over him. And then he pulls this. Like, it's not even that.
This was not even that. That was not even him. That was, I'm sticking to, that was direction. And that, like, was for film cutting.
Like, I'm pretty sure the Tobias we're reading in the book, and we're not even halfway through the book. He's a little bit more flirty, at least, with her.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even do that.
Nope.
It's like, I don't know.
It's boring.
I'm mad because you can't shoot a gun. You kept secrets from me. Okay, let's make out and have sex. Okay, let's go. Let me come rescue you.
You die, I die. Like,
that's what I got from that.
That's like, what I got.
I got no connection there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mr. James, but that doesn't do it for me.
He did not do it for me this time. I didn't get to see him shirtless that much. I thought that was a part of his contract.
That would be one of Alyssa's biggest worries. Oh, man.
Isn't that part of his contract?
I don't know. I'm sure it is at some point, but I don't know.
It should be a part of his contract.
It should be a part of his contract. I think if I had to pick my top three, I'm mad they didn't play up the characters that they had. I'm mad that they changed the ending, which was a really good ending. I loved the ending.
Yeah, the ending was great.
And added some stupid box thing.
Fuck the box. Excuse me.
It's kind of reminded me of, like, the Pandora's box kind of thing. Like, what is this?
Yeah. And then she's like, I'm just gonna bury it.
Let me walk back in there. Ugh. Like you're in the middle of leaving, and you're just going to walk back in there and endure the torture?
Yeah. What? No.
I don't know.
The more I talk about this, the more I kind of hate it. But I'm going to go back to what Amanda said. You kind of have to take it in insurgent movie land, insurgent book land.
True. My family, who's never read the book, loved the movie.
Yeah. Was a decent movie, but a terrible adaptation.
I don't know. You know,
yeah, that's the name of our movie. That's the name of our show title. It was a decent movie.
Decent movie,
terrible adaptation.
Okay.
That's the show title right there.
Since we've ranted and complained probably as much as we're going to, let's go ahead and wrap up.
Okay.
Some recommendations. Do you want to recommend movies?
Sure.
It's possibly in the spirit of the movie review.
Yeah. Okay. So here's mine.
Okay.
And it is a movie, book to movie adaptation, but it is a movie that deviates very strongly from the book. It's great as a standalone movie. And this movie is Practical Magic.
That's a book?
Yes, it is.
Holy smokes! I love that movie.
I love that movie, too, and I didn't realize it was a book until the other couple years ago. It's written by Alice Hoffman, and it's very, very different from the movie. Yeah, no, the book is kind of fascinating, but it takes the same basic principle of the aunts in Ireland, two sisters, and a sister with two daughters. And a guy that was bad for you.
Okay.
So a guy that was bad for the sister.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's all that's the same?
Yeah.
Huh.
It takes the family structure kind of the island and the bad guy. Island,
are they?
But that said, the movie is one of my favorite things on this planet. Mostly because of when Sheriff Halleck or Officer Halleck comes to the house and Sandra Bullock's character is just sitting there like blabbing and Nicole Kidman just mouths, "What is wrong with you?" And Sandra Bullock's like, "I don't know."
It's the best.
I love that part. And then there's Midnight Margaritas and
it's just, so much fun.
There's just a lot of things that I love about that movie.
It's kind of quirky in its own 90s way.
Yep.
But it's still dark, and it's still magic, and it's still a lot of fun.
It's such a good movie. But a very, very distant relation to the book.
But we are recommending movies, though.
We are. I'm just saying that was an adaptation of a book.
Okay.
That went completely awry, but was very good. So it can happen. It just was not Insurgent.
Now I'm wondering if the movie I picked out is even a book.
What movie?
It's a book adaptation anyway, but the movie I want to recommend is Ever After.
Okay.
With Drew Barrymore in it.
Love it.
And for those of you who've never heard of this movie before, it is a Cinderella story, live action, but it's not frilly. It's not a frilly Cinderella story. It's like an actual story.
Yeah.
About a girl with a father she adored and, you know, how it plays out when she, you know, has a stepmother and life doesn't go her way, but she makes, like, the best out of it. There's a whole, for people who, like, wonder why Cinderella just fell in love with a prince, there's a whole romance, there's a whole story there.
Yeah.
And that's why I love it so much, because you actually see them build, like, relationship and, like, see all that happen, and, oh, it's so good.
Yeah, it's really good. I love that movie.
I wonder if it's an actual book. Like, if
I just Googled that.
It's an actual book?
I believe it is an actual book.
Okay. Well, cool. Well, I mean, I assumed it's still an adaptation because it's an adaptation of Cinderella.
Yes.
But it's also a book with, like, period times and stuff, so
yeah.
That's pretty cool. I just crack up whenever I see this film because I saw this film so much when I was a kid that I assumed all the actors were from England.
Technically, they're in France. They just all speak with a British accent.
I forget because...
Including Da Vinci.
Da Vinci has a British accent. It's got Da Vinci. It's got some wonderful things. That's hilarious. Because they do say that. He's going to marry the girl from Spain. And
yep.
He doesn't want to be a king. He doesn't want to marry her. And she says, "Choose wisely, my dear. Divorce is only something they do in England."
Yes, this is true.
It's very true. Okay. Well, those are our recommendations. We will probably be back in the next couple of weeks because Alyssa has already read all of the chapters she needs to.
I have.
So
we don't have to wait for me to read them anymore.
Really, it's up to me. We can get going.
Thank
you so much for listening.
Thank you so much.
To the invisible people in the world, to all the initiates. And you can let us know by emailing in at factionfandompodcast@gmail.com. Be sure and follow us on all the things. We are faction-fandom@tumblr.com. And FFandomPodcast on Twitter. So you can definitely do that. I'm going to let you know right now, the Twitter is probably not that important. And the Tumblr, we just post a bunch of GIFs. But for people who don't have email hooked up to their phone, but they've got their, you know, all the things, social media done, you'll want to follow us because that's how you'll get the updates on all the shifts.
Yes, that is how you get the updates.
So thank you so much, guys, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye. I should ask her stuff.
Hold on. So she asks you stuff on your actual blog, not your Tumblr blog?
No, on my Tumblr blog.
But why'd you say she needs to get a Tumblr?
She doesn't have one.
So how does she ask you stuff?
It's anonymous.
That's why it's anonymous, because she doesn't have a Tumblr account, but she can ask you stuff openly?
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Right? Things will burn, bend and burn, every turn. Hope is off for letter word. Make that money, watch it burn. Oh, but I'm not that old, young. But I'm not that bold, and I don't think the world is sold. I'm just doing what we're told. So, movie review, pros, there aren't enough. Cons, there are too many. And my response to this was, I'm so happy it's not just me. Oh my god, I was so worried about this.